and on your phone. This is Today FM's IMRO award-winning National Lunchtime News.
Storm Ophelia, 215,000 people still without power and 80,000 with no water.
We today have a very significant water deficit across the south of the country. The main areas affected are really from Wexford across to Skibbereen.
Emergency services praised for their efforts.
People put their lives at risk yesterday to help others, particularly in the emergency services. And we heard at our meeting this morning of just two cases where, had things gone in any way just a little bit differently, we would have had more losses of life from our emergency responders.
Criticism of those who ignored the safety warnings.
When you lose somebody who has lost their life while they go to help somebody else live, that's tough in itself. But to know that that would happen needlessly is just, it's unbelievable, to be honest with you.
And community spirit and the clean-up.
It was scary and I felt sorry for older people, but generally speaking I think people in our locality looked after everybody and it was a time for people to shine in their communities as well and to show their support, especially for those on their own and the elderly.
This is the National Lunchtime News, Today FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Susan Keogh. Our top story this lunchtime, 80,000 households are without water today following Storm Ophelia, and that figure is rising rapidly. 215,000 people are still without power, with crews being brought in from France and the UK to help restore supply. The National Emergency Coordination Group says no significant structural damage was caused, but it will take days to assess all of the harm. There were also a number of incidents in which emergency personnel almost lost their lives. Julia Gash has the latest.
We today have a very significant water deficit across the south of the country. The main areas affected are really from Wexford across to Skibbereen.
Chief Executive of Irish Water, Gerry Grant, says 80,000 households are currently without water and that number is rising. Many water depots are without power and are running out of water too. Areas from Wexford right across to Skibbereen are affected. But Mr Grant is hopeful they'll restore power and as a result water today.
We are very hopeful in the course of the afternoon that between the restoration of power by ESB and the deployment of generators that we can get a significant proportion of those back in service by night time.
As the cleanup continues across the country, John Mulholland from Laois County Council says crews are working on the ground.
The sole priority is recovery, and that means that there are 3,000 more or less staff on the ground supported and assisted by fire personnel, with the main objective of clearing debris, fallen trees and making sure that our roads and public places are safe.
Housing Minister Owen Murphy says no cost will be spared if they need resources.
At the moment it's not yet clear that there's going to be a significant call on public money, but the full resources of the state are there to help the local authorities, to help the emergency services, to help any agency that needs help in that way.
Minister Murphy also praised the work of emergency services.
People put their lives at risk yesterday to help others, particularly in the emergency services. And we heard at our meeting this morning of just two cases where, had things gone in any way just a little bit differently, we would have had more losses of life.
Gerry Hines from the ESB describes some of those near misses.
We have reports of a number of very near misses involving members of the frontline response community coming into very close, almost contact with live electrical wires.
So as the country returns to normality, the message is to stay away from fallen trees and wires and let the clean-up continue. Juliette Gash at the National Emergency Coordination Centre in Dublin.
Meanwhile, people who attempted to swim during Storm Ophelia in Galway yesterday have been criticised locally. The majority of people took the red weather warning seriously, but a number of people entered the water in Salt Hill during the severe storm. From Galway, Gail Conway reports.
It's blue skies and calm seas in Galway City today. Ophelia left town as fast as she blew in yesterday, leaving minimal destruction given the severity of her force. She lashed the city for a couple of hours, creating dangerous conditions along the Prom in Salt Hill. But despite the warnings, a number of people still thought it was a good idea to go for a swim.
It's a long-standing tradition in Galway that people, the polar bears of Galway, who go out swimming every day. Yesterday was not the day to do it. All of the media, all of the signals were that the Storm Ophelia was coming. It's idiotic bravado.
That was Gary McMahon, Senior Executive Officer with Galway City Council. His views were echoed by locals in Salt Hill this morning.
Crazy suicide. They should be prosecuted for emergency service wasting time. It's crazy.
I mean, it makes me laugh in one sense, but also it's, you know, if people have to go out and rescue these people, it's expensive and it's inconsiderate. So probably not the best idea.
Daredevils. People who want to do that, they're obviously getting a buzz off of, you know, they're putting other people's lives at risk by doing that.
The sea flooded and receded from the prom quickly, but Creamery Cafe owner Ronan Galvin says the advance warnings helped save local businesses.
We did prepare, and I think that was key, and I think that a lot of business did take necessary precautions. Businesses closed, and I think in all there was good communication between through the Salt Hill Village community that we used to ensure that there was no damage done.
And while the wrath of Ophelia may have been short-lived, her force was felt and the community stuck together.
The eve shoots went flying with no electricity. It was scary, and I felt sorry for older people, but generally speaking I think people in our locality looked after everybody, and it was a time for people to shine in their communities as well and to show their support, especially for those on their own and the elderly.
Gail Conway in Galway.
In addition to the swimmers in Salt Hill in Galway, the Coast Guard Helicopter Rescue 116 also responded to two kite surfers in Dundalk in County Louth. Niamh Fitzpatrick's sister Dara was one of four people who died in March when the helicopter crashed off the west coast. I've been speaking to her about how she felt about those who didn't heed the advice.
But I was so incensed yesterday. I was just so incensed when I heard reports of people out and about. I've been asked to talk a lot about it since, and I said no, but there's something about the way you asked me there just now, if I would talk, and it made me stop and think, and I thought maybe that voice, maybe that personal voice from that experience might, the next time there is a storm. And it just made me think that maybe it is time to speak out and to say what it's like from that other perspective, because when you do lose somebody who's in search and rescue, or maybe firefighting, Gardaí, ambulance or NRI, you mountain rescue, when you lose somebody who has lost their life while they go to help somebody else live, that's tough in itself. But to know that that would happen needlessly is just, it's unbelievable, to be honest with you, Susan. It's unbelievable.
And obviously, Niamh, this is deeply personal for you, but I think an awful lot of people were really annoyed when they saw those pictures yesterday and were also really angry. And there's been a lot of talk about how the people who did that should be, you know, named and shamed, or could they be fined, or somehow to hammer home the message that that's just unacceptable behaviour.
I can understand why some of the responses and replies back to me on Twitter were things like, leave them out there. You know, you're not going to leave somebody out there. If somebody's in trouble, you've got to go after them and get them. And you are going to go after them and get them. So I wouldn't leave them out there. For me, it would be criminal. I think it's reckless endangerment. I would, again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if those terms are correct. But I would like to see people held to account. If they, for one moment, I keep saying this, it's just one moment for a selfie or for an adrenaline rush. If they put somebody else's life in danger, that's not okay. And I have to be clear, when we lost Dara, it wasn't through reckless endangerment. It just doesn't, this situation is so hard when you lose somebody anyway. It's so hard. But to think that would happen for that moment of madness is just unbelievable for me. So I would hold people to account. Whoever that's done, that's not my place to say. But I would hold them to account, yeah.
That was Niamh Fitzpatrick speaking to me there. To some other news now, and a couple needs to be earning at least €75,000 between them to have any chance of buying a house. That's according to homeless campaigner Father Peter McFerry, who's criticising the government's housing strategy. Stephanie Grogan has the details.
Homeless campaigner Father Peter McFerry says we've lost our sense of outrage when it comes to homelessness while the housing market is in crisis. He says a couple needs to be earning at least €75,000 between them to have any hope of affording a house, while a single person would have to earn that amount on their own to have any chance.
30 years ago, everybody, almost everybody in this country, could aspire to owning their own house. Today, only about one in three people, households, will be able to purchase a house.
The government's much-typed housing plan, Rebuilding Ireland, was launched 15 months ago, but the Jesuit Centre says since then homelessness has increased by 27%, while house prices and rents have gone up by 12%. The centre says the government relies too heavily on market-based solutions, and Dr PJ Drudy from Trinity College says the market is failing.
A one-bedroom apartment in Dunleary, €375,000. A two-bedroom, of course, around €600,000. These are the sort of prices that new homes are being asked nowadays. So the market doesn't work very well.
The Jesuit Centre wants the government to come up with a more radical approach to housing. It says more social units are needed and boarded up properties need to be brought into use. The Centre's Margaret Burns also says it should be illegal for landlords to evict anyone into homelessness.
Since most people are coming into homelessness through being evicted from the private rented sector, one way is to bring in a law that makes it impossible for landlords to evict people into homelessness, as they have in other countries.
The Jesuit Centre says the government needs to stop looking at housing as a commodity, but as a basic human right. Stephanie Grogan in Dublin.
A man has pleaded not guilty to a double murder in County Louth. Jason O'Driscoll from Richmond Avenue in Dublin is accused of murdering two young men 5 years ago. Our court's correspondent Frank Rainey reports.
The bodies of 31-year-old Anthony Burnett and 25-year-old Joseph Redmond were found inside a burnt-out car at Ravensdale Park in Dundalk on the night of Wednesday, March 7th, 2012. Both men were from Ballybock in Dublin. Jason O'Driscoll, who's originally from Fairview in Dublin but spent some time in Newry, was later arrested and charged with the double murder. When the charges were put to him in court this morning, he said, "I'm innocent, Your Honour, not guilty." A jury of 7 men and 5 women was then sworn in to hear his trial, which is expected to take between 3 and 4 weeks. Alex Owens, whose prosecution on behalf of the DPP will open his case when the jurors return to court at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
Around 67% of Irish women are using contraception. A new UN report launched today examines gender inequality around the world by looking at women's reproductive rights. It found that inequality is highest in countries which have the least access to reproductive services. Nicole Gernon reports.
This UN report found that in most developing countries, women in the poorest 20% of the population have the least access to reproductive health services. While Ireland is a developed country, there is only limited access to abortion and just 67% of women use contraception. Minister for Health Promotion is Catherine Byrne.
The report itself, Worlds Apart, means for all of us that really we aren't worlds apart. Inequality is happening right throughout the world. It's happened in our own country in the past and still continues to happen here as well. But I think what's significant about us here today launching it is the fact that we've come such a far distance.
The Irish Family Planning Association's Maeve Taylor says while we've made progress, we don't compare well to other developed countries.
There are barriers, for example, to women's and adolescent girls' access to contraception. So while contraception is theoretically freely available, there are still cost barriers.
In developing countries, there are 89 million unintended pregnancies every year and 48 million abortions. The UN says looking at the level of access to reproductive rights can highlight gender inequality, which is something everyone should be concerned about. Jacqueline Mahon is from its Population Fund.
And this is a reflection of women, particularly women, poor women, women and girls, in terms of age, in terms of their location, in terms of their ability to both exercise their rights to access and utilise sexual reproductive health services.
The report sets out 10 things that developed countries can do to ensure better access to reproductive health services throughout the world to tackle inequality. Nicole Gernon at the launch of the UN Population Report in Dublin.
Finally, Bill Clinton has been given an honorary doctorate at Dublin City University today. He's been honoured for his help in bringing about peace in Northern Ireland. Speaking at the event in Dublin, the former US president explained why he got involved.
A raging conflict had gone on between two communities in Northern Ireland, infesting the politics of the Republic and the politics of America, and everywhere there was a larger Irish diaspora, all rooted in the simple proposition that what really mattered to their identities was their religious, political, and philosophical differences.
Today FM and offtheball.com.
Aura Leisure's Fit for Life personalised training plans. 30 minutes twice a week. Save time and money while getting fit for life. See auraleisure.ie for more.
Philip Egan joins us now at the Lunchtime Sports Desk.